Where were you when Sandy hit? I think we all have our stories. Among the most beautiful gestures of New York neighborliness was that of John Candelaria. He's the little clump on the screen there. You can see him circled. He's standing in the overflowing East River near the corner of East 93rd and 1st Avenue. I'm sure you all recognize the spot. From his apartment, Mr. Candelaria could see a taxi that had stalled because of the rising floodwaters. The driver could not open his door because of the pressure of the water pushing against the door, so he was stuck. Mr. Candelaria, at 6'5", decided he could risk it and waded waist deep into the East River and reached out to save the driver. His neighbors declared him immediately a hero. He said, no, not at all. What was I supposed to do? Sit at home and watch a man drown and take pictures and post it on Facebook? That's not me. Goodness is love reaching. Mr. Candelaria reached out to the cab driver. We still don't know his name, by the way, but you can tell the size. He needed the man's help. Now, you'd think an ordinary word like goodness would be easy to describe and define. Not so. The other virtues, love, peace, patience, they all had some parallel in Greek literature. And through the followers of Jesus, they always added a certain Christian distinctiveness to it. But still, it was an existing word. But the Greek word for goodness that Paul uses here is found only four times, all in the mouth of Paul, who seems to have coined the term. Nobody else ever used it. So without secular parallel, it gives us a little bit of a problem. We are left on our own to solve the mystery. What did he mean by goodness? Well, the word goodness is agathosyne. Agathos, as in Agatha Christie, a good-natured sleuth author. And syne, as in synagogue, where Jews met, or synapses, where signals leap from neuron to neuron, or synchronized watches, or swimmers, or synchronized divers, and our Olympic-winning divers are pictured there. So whatever else it means, agathosyne is shared good, good for others, good together, measurable good. The word can be rendered kindness, but in Galatians 5, it follows the word kindness. So it may be related to it, but it's not exactly the same. Kind people are the opposite of bullies. They avoid cruelty and they go out meeting needs. Kindness penetrates and pervades your nature. As wine mellows with age, kindness mellows whatever is harsh and austere in you. But apparently it did that too well among the early followers of Jesus. The second century apologist Tertullian says that Christus, became Christus, the kind one, and Christians, the little Christs, became Christians, the little kind ones. And Roman society at large viewed us with increasing contempt. So why would they view us with such contempt if we were so kind? Because we were kind in the worst sense of the term. Harmless, no edge, no teeth, no bite, no passion, doing little, as moribund as any church today. So how'd that happen? We were less followers of Jesus than followers of whatever promised us the most stuff and the least fear. The other texts where goodness is used, in contrast, hint at some differences here. And what we're going to do is deal with them in chronological order. That is, from the first time Paul used the word until the last time he wrote it. So, starting off, three different places in Thessalonians, Romans, and Ephesians. Take a look at Thessalonians. God, may God fulfill every resolve for goodness, there's the word, and every work of faith by his power. So we see goodness is surrounded by God fulfilling it, but you make the resolution, you do the good, that's the every work part, and you work by his power. So you're surrounded by God doing what God would have you do. God fulfills your resolve, you make the resolution, you follow through. You resolved to be good, now do good. Don't stop until you benefit others. This is an essential quality for activists. Last year, in a survey we took, you hinted that such actionable goodness is not nearly high enough on our collective agenda. So this goodness may be the most relevant spiritual gift or spiritual fruit for us as a congregation. What you said last year was you didn't think our neighbors saw the res to be an important part of their lives. I think that's a fair statement. You felt that little of our planning focuses on a vision different than what we are today, yet we are barely scratching the surface in effecting positive change. This deficit in actionable goodness may actually be part of our DNA as Anglicans. Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, saw the same problem among UK Anglicans in 1936. Let me read you from Archbishop Temple. The preoccupation of the church, he said, should be with those outside, but very few church people have any conscious sense of responsibility with regard to people who are detached from the church. We ought to be concerned with bringing the gospel of Christ to bear on the lives of other people and bringing them to accept him as their Savior and King. We must change the direction and thoughts of the church and our frame of mind. That was as true in 1936 as it is today. We have made some progress. We've been working on this as a church, but we still have far to go. Anton Chekhov said this, not the Star Trek Chekhov, different one. Don't tell me the moon is shining. Show me the glint of light on broken glass. Let me say that again. Don't tell me the moon is shining. Show me the glint of light on broken glass. What we're going to give you now are three glints of light on broken glass. Things that you might consider opting into and joining in that we might make further progress toward the goal of having our neighbors see us as a valuable part of their community. So, first, Miranda Snyder, our community life director. If you would speak, please, about the Danforth East community association.
So what I want to suggest to you this morning is that often is when we talk about these things and we gather as a church, we say, yes, let's start a program, and we have so much talent in this room. What can we do, and what kind of program can we bring to bear on the neighborhood? And what I want to suggest to you is that we might move forward in a different way, that there are already community organizations out there who have the bandwidth to affect and create change, and what we need to do is come alongside in tremendous and productive support. So one of those things is the Danforthy's Community Association. I bring it up because we're in their boundaries and they have the bandwidth to effect neighborhood change. It was a group of moms on maternity leave who started this. It sounds like this big thing. It's run by like two volunteers. They transformed Eastland Park. They started the farmers market. They are in the midst of cleaning up empty and abandoned storefronts along the Danforth and putting in pop-up shops. So that means they are turning them into positive, potentially commercial ventures to the betterment of the neighborhood. These are all things that have a visceral impact on the families that live here, but what they need is time and talent. They have a vision already for how to make this neighborhood an amazing community and place, and they need our help. And my suggestion is that we need to come alongside the people who are already doing awesome things and bring our time and talent to bear and in tremendous support of what's already going on. There are lots of ways to get involved, but every community, if you don't live right in these boundaries here, I would encourage you to go out and support the things that are happening in your community. Do you have a community garden that needs some volunteers to clean it up in your neighborhood? You need to be there helping them, not because you're necessarily a gardener, but because that's where you work with your neighbors together and you come alongside each other. Do you have people who are busy throwing awesome parties? Buy a ticket. Like, we just need to, I think, show up in the places where people are and then begin to invite our friends to come along as well. These are neutral spaces, and there's a wide opportunity, and we can make tremendous change by coming alongside our neighbors with a shared vision for community. So that is as local as it gets.
Thank you, Miranda. Interesting, you spoke both today about a party we could have here and parties out there. We can do both. The second passage is from Romans. You are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. Notice the link that Paul is establishing between goodness and content, knowledge and instructing one another. God alone is good, said Jesus. And that the apostle felt the need to coin a word for what he was trying to get at suggests that we Christians have a special, unique content to offer in our conversations with the world. Mercy, forgiveness, grace, these sorts of things. We just need to discover our voice. Jerome, who translated the Bible into Latin in the 4th century, suggested that goodness includes rebuking, correcting, and chastising. And he suggests that goodness drove Jesus to drive the buyers and sellers out of the temple and to diss the scribes and Pharisees as he did. One church I know of formed a group that challenged municipal bureaucracy and their needless red tape. They called themselves NAGS. I can't remember what all the letters stood for, but it was something like Neighbors Against Governmental Stupidity. We don't need to go that far. But goodness comes with content. There are things to learn and challenges that we embrace as we challenge the status quo when that status quo is dysfunctional. Jennifer Griffiths, would you speak to us about Save the Mothers, another opportunity of being involved?
Speaking of finding a voice, I feel that I have found part of my voice through my involvement in Save the Mothers over the past year. I have notes because once I start talking about the content of this goodness, I could go on all day, and I don't want to do that. But Save the Mothers seeks to incarnate the love and the justice of the gospel by addressing the injustice of high rates of maternal mortality in the developing world. Right now, the work is focused in Uganda and East Africa, and through providing training for local professionals so that they can go out and be change agents in their communities and work for safe motherhood there. But as you'll recall, earlier this year, the Res had the opportunity to partner with Save the Mothers and host an East Toronto walk, which was a fundraiser for Save the Mothers. We collectively raised $15,000 in that event, which was amazing. But far more exciting to me was the opportunity to become part of a network of people here who have a passion for this work. The community network that developed around the time of that walk has expanded and is evident 6 months later as we plan for another event, which is the Save the Mothers annual dinner and fundraiser. There are right now 54 people confirmed for that event who are spinning out of the Save the Mothers walk from the Res this spring. They are our neighbors, they are our friends, they are our colleagues, they are our children, and we're all joining together in this event in order to learn more about the injustice of needless death in childbirth. And we're also being empowered to fight for change as we partner with people on the ground in Uganda who are working for safe motherhood there. In his book, which I have, Race Against Time, Stephen Lewis spoke about the fact that when there is injustice in the world, it shames and it diminishes all of us. The flip side of that, of course, is that when we are empowered to fight those injustices, it is good for all of us. When we work for justice and for mercy, by giving of our time, our skills, our money, our prayers, we are doing what we are made to do, and it is good, and it is easy to invite people into opportunities to be part of that goodness because it is attractive. And I think that's why we've seen the growth of these networks of people here, the network that's growing out of the event that we hosted at the Res earlier this spring. I really believe it's true, and I'm going to borrow somebody else's works, and then I'm going to mash it up a little bit with something that Duke said earlier. This is The Spirituality of Fundraising by Nguyen, where he says, even a seemingly small act of generosity or of goodness or of love reaching can grow into something far beyond what we could ever ask or imagine, the creation of a community of love in this world. And I really think that that is what we are starting to see through events like the Save the Mothers events, like our involvement in DECA and other community outreach opportunities that we have.
I wonder, who's going to the dinner? Thank you. There's a lot more who either aren't raising your hands or not here. That's fine. I remember you told me a story yesterday about one of your neighbors who her teenage daughter wanted to somehow get involved in the social clubs she was going to. As I recall the story, all she was given to do was to create make the floral displays on tables. Whereas this actually gives an opportunity for some meaningful involvement with people here that can have effective change elsewhere. So it's not so much that it goes elsewhere, it's the involvement here that makes a difference. Thank you. Final passage is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. Once you were in darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and righteous and true. That is, goodness in Paul's mind is linked with righteousness, with justice, with God seeing that we are being and living the right way as individuals and as a people, and truthful, and keeping our word and our relationships, beautiful things which please Jesus. The final person to speak today is Keith Bundock. Where is Keith? Would you mind coming forward? Keith is a longtime member of the Parkdale Neighborhood Church. Aaron Oxford is its director. And Keith has something to say about Parkdale.
About 10 and a half years ago, a man walked into PNC. Was a church-going man. His previous church had just fallen apart. His marriage had just ended, and he had been diagnosed with a mental illness. Life was going really well. Walked in broken, and met something that he had never really encountered in this depth in this group of people before. It was called community. And ironically, 80% of the people around him were just as broken. That man was me. And I'm still broken. You know what? We all are. That's okay. I'm a healthier broken now than I was then. PNC is full of broken people. See those broken candles, those broken glass around the candles? Broken things can be beautiful. PNC is full of beautiful people. And here comes the big so what. So what does this have to do with us? Well, there's a really, really tough task that Duke is going to give you. Here it is.
My Facebook friends knows what's coming. On the screen, you'll see something that I lifted from the Aviva Community Fund website featuring the Parkdale Neighborhood Church. Now, I realize, we all realize, that most of us are way overcommitted already. And you've been thinking, I didn't come to church to feel guilty. I came to be lifted up because I'm already pouring myself out for so much. Well, I want to give you an opportunity to do one good thing that is as least labor intensive as I could find. Open your computer, type in Aviva in the Google search. When the search page comes up in the right corner, type in PNC. You'll find this popping up on screen. You can do this goodness by taking your cursor over to where it says vote and clicking. And your work is done. Well, you might have to sign up, actually, but there you are. The Aviva Community Fund looks for the people to say which projects should be supported. And you can vote every day up through a period of time. Parkdale Neighborhood Church yesterday, before I got a note asking me to get involved in this, was at 470. They've already raised their number by 70 and gone from about a ranking of 270 down to probably 250. I don't know what they have to be below, but I think in the next 2 days, with all the friends I have and all the friends you have going click, that we might be able to move them one step closer to actually getting some funds from Aviva to continue their work. What Keith did not say is Parkdale Neighborhood Church, who the primary people that they care for are both healthy folks, broken healthy folks, and deinstitutionalized psychiatric patients. PNC is itself homeless. It has no permanent home. Clicking this little button at least would say to them, we stand with you as you wander in the footsteps of the Messiah. That's all you have to do. And you can say, I applied the sermon. How many people have asked you ever if you've applied a sermon? I don't think that ever comes up, but you could do that. There are other ways. Those are three. A while back, I was leading a youth group, and I asked each of them at the start of the meeting to write down one good thing they would do over the next week. 1 week, one good thing. One snarky kid spoke up and said, "What if I can't think of anything to do?" I lost it. I blurted out the bitter truth. If you can't think of one good thing to do in 1 week, you might as well give up now. Everybody. Thank you, Keith. Everybody started writing down. I don't know what they were writing, but John O'Donohue said this. I love this. Beauty does not linger. It only visits. Beauty does not linger. It only visits. Yet beauty's visitation affects us and invites us into its rhythm. It calls us to feel, to think, and act beautifully in the world, to create and live a life that awakens the beautiful. In my mind, all these three things are beauties, and I pray that they visit a long time. What then of us? If the res ceased to exist, would our neighbors notice? Would they miss us? Would they be concerned for their own future if we weren't a part of it? Those are the key questions to be meditating over, and you are the answer to that. Goodness is love reaching. As we enter our 101st year, let us keep making beautiful things and making things beautiful until the beautiful people living around us start saying how beautiful you followers of Jesus are to them. Let's pray. Lord, we receive your goodness. You alone are good. But planting that goodness in us, you've put in us the desire to extend that to the community of faith and beyond. Therefore, may we meet this challenge confident that it is you who will enable us to keep this resolve, and you who will fulfill these things, and that we do all this by your power. In the good name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.